In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is a mystery that we ponder this Christmas season. Not just a mystery of why this microphone decided to give out on all fronts on this day, but a mystery of how God is with us and does not lose anything by becoming man. And what he means by this. We've considered yesterday morning the name of Jesus. Yesterday evening we considered the kingdom of Jesus. And perhaps the most mysterious of all, the will or the desire of Jesus, what he wants. We confess in the small catechism that God's will is that he break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, and that he keep us strong in his word and faith until we die. That the plans of Satan, the plans of evil men, the plans of our sinful heart will not rule or overcome us. And that instead, his desire, his will, is that we be strengthened in trust towards God. What this Christmas teaches us, first, is that our Lord is not far off. The world, Satan, and our sinful nature would say and tempt us with the idea that God is not interested in our concern, that he is far away up in heaven, leaving us alone to fend for ourselves. That even when we pray for him, the world will say, he may hear us, but he doesn't care. But in and on Christmas, we learn that our God took on flesh, became as innocent as our flesh, became weak and in poverty as us, to smell, to taste, to hear. Though he did those things and knew those things as God, he became flesh so that we would know we have a God who is with us, who is with us on the ground and not far away, who does not understand our prayers and our needs simply as God, which ought to be enough, but one who knows us and that can sympathize with us as God himself in the flesh. So if we wonder where God is in the midst of troubles or loneliness or hurt, we know he is right there with us, in the flesh, feeling the same things we feel, and yet as God, so that he understands them far better than anyone else in the world. In this way, his word, becoming flesh, breaks and hinders the evil plans of the world and our sinful nature. And in regards to that prayer, that means if he became flesh and dwelt among us and died and rose and ascended into heaven, we know that we have one who stands between us and the wrath that we deserve, who offers up his own blood for our sins, who takes our prayers and offers them up in his own name, so that his own Father hears them and accepts them. So don't let those doubts overcome you that the Lord hears your prayers and doesn't care. The Lord hears your prayers and takes them deep into his heart and does what is best for you into eternity, because Christ is there offering them up as his own. If that is not enough, we know the will of God in that he has given you a new birth. He has washed you in his water. He has bound his word to you. Because the will of the flesh is that it fight and fight for every ounce of life until it gives its last breath. But in Christ, we have a new life, a promise, an enduring hope that will endure the death of our flesh, just as it endured his. A new birth by water and the word and holy baptism, that is his will, that he worked on us. Something that cannot be taken from us, though the world and other Christians will try to deny the truth. That no, you must feel born again. You must change everything that you are, and unless you do, you are not truly a Christian. But our Lord says, no, I make you who I want you to be. I declare you one of my own children. This is my will. It cannot be undone. It is with that new birth that he crushes the threat of death, that he crushes that guilt and shame that threatens your conscience. That is his will. That is why he became flesh, to kill Satan and kill death itself. And even clearer in that verse, John 1 verse 14, when he says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is not Christ in the manger. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory is referring to the whole revelation of God, but most specifically, the glory of the cross. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is glorified, is when he is put and raised up on the cross. We often wonder what God's purpose is, why he is doing this, why he is arranging things the way they are, why time is moving forward in this particular way. And we want to look into his hidden will, that which has not been revealed, to try to figure that out. But our Lord has revealed what we need to know. The only begotten Son, he has made the Father known. He has made the will, the desire of God. We see that in the Son's death, in the Word become flesh and dead on the cross. That is God revealed in all of his glory. There is no clearer way that God could speak to us than on the cross. That is the way the Word speaks. And lest we forget it, or lest we lack the comfort or try to find other ways, he makes sure that we receive that flesh and blood in no ways doubting in the Lord's body and blood on the table, in the sacrament of the altar. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. so that we know that we have not only the same Lord who is in the manger, but the same Lord who died on the cross, revealing all that his love truly is. We have all of that. All of that bound up in the mystery of the sacrament of the altar. But we need not wonder what the will of God is, what this next year will bring for us. We know it will bring us life because his life has already been given and is offered. We know it will bring us struggle with the cross because that's what he struggled with. We know it will also bring us resurrection and hope, and that God will never abandon us nor forsake us because he is the Word become flesh, and he never gave that up, and he never will. He is among us. He is with us. Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen.